as we deal with the subject, How to Overcome Temptation, Part 163. We're dealing with the problem of temptation in a very thorough fashion, dealing with the top 12 sins that we are tempted with. And this is the Onward Christian Soldiers Discipleship class number 287. Our foundational passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And this is a passage that you ought to hide in your heart. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Whatever you're tempted with, other people are being tempted as well with the same thing. So stop believing the lie of the devil that you're the only one. You're not. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Yield not to temptation. Now I want you to turn in your Bibles tonight to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 25. As we are dealing with the temptation of pride a second time around. Proverbs 15, verse 25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Pardon me. But he will establish the border of the widow. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. And we praise you and we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is sitting at your right hand, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word, and for all of the millions and many and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us throughout our lives, down through the years. And Holy Father God, we thank you for salvation and spiritual family and life, protection and provision, mental and physical, financial and material blessings that you have bestowed upon each and every one of us. And for those of us, Lord, who are truly born again and saved and filled with your Holy Spirit, we thank you for the gift of contentment and joy and peace and the fruits of the Spirit. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the devil is fighting hard. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil, his demons and his hosts, and the satanic, demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias out of every Christian family, every Christian ministry, every Christian church, not only here but everywhere, because this demonic spirit is everywhere, the spirit of rebelliousness, the spirit of betrayal and sabotage. Lord, it is so sad. Not only did you have a Judas, not only did you, Holy Father God, have a Lucifer, sadly, some who have claimed to be followers of yours have stabbed you in the back so many times. I don't understand your long-suffering. I just thank you for it. People, once they claim to trust you as Savior, have betrayed you and have tried to sabotage your work, stabbing you in the back as Judas did. And Holy Father God, drive this demon spirit, this demonic spirit, out of Christian families, professing Christian families, out of true Christian churches, true Christian ministries across this country and around the globe, for it is very prevalent. This demonic spirit is on the increase. Lord, I know that there are some who don't want me to pray like this, but I have to, because I'm like that boxer in the ring. If nobody is hitting me, somebody needs to check the referee, because there's somebody fighting me. I can't see him. And Lord, you told us who he is. He is the devil, Satan, like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour this service. He wants to devour me. He wants to devour my family and our ministry. He wants to destroy each and every one of us, because I have led this family and ministry and church, Lord, to serve you and to worship you and to preach the gospel around the world. And the devil is mad at me. And if you would allow him to touch me, he would have touched me a long time ago. And I would be lying down with some boils. But I thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. You've been very good to me, and you have protected me and all of your true servants down through the years. And I thank you for that. And so, Lord, I do pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would please rebuke and bind the devil and the demons of hell from this place, from this service, from your people, and not only here, but your people all around. And Lord, I am convinced that the organization, that an organism that is in the world that can really, really benefit from such things as Zoom and Facebook Live and YouTube Live and Vimeo Live and Live all over is the church, because we worship you in spirit and in truth. We don't have to be in the same room to sense the power of your Holy Spirit and receive the power of your Holy Word and benefit from the power of prayer. So, Holy Father God, I do pray that by the power of your Holy Ghost, by the power of your grace and mercy, we pray that you would save those who are lost in this city, in this country, and around the globe. We pray that you would revive those who are saved in this city, in this country, and around the globe. We pray that you'll heal those who are sick. Lord, if they're saved, help them to call for the elders of the church. And most importantly, Lord, help them to confess, divulge, and repent of their sins, and to tell the truth and shame the devil, and to be transparent, to be honest, for that's the beginning of healing. I've seen you do it, and I know you will do it if people come clean. and are willing to confess their sins to you and even in front of other people. They don't mind being shamed and embarrassed about their evil that they've done against you. They want to be healed, and so they'll confess it and tell the truth on themselves, and it's a beautiful thing. Help them to do it tonight and to be real about it. To stop being a fake and a phony, acting like they have it all together and they're perfect and wonderful and they're not. And so, Holy Father God, we pray for the healing of these people. We pray for the comfort of those who are grieving. And, Lord, in mourning tonight, it could have been any one of us. Every list we pray over these people by name. Lord, as you know, in our memorial service that we have every day for these people, we pray over them by name. And more, every list we come across, almost, there's multiple people in the same family that have died. Like the couple that was celebrating their 70th anniversary of marriage. Lord, I'm not even 70 years old. And they were celebrating their 70th anniversary, and they were holding hands, and they died together from the coronavirus plague. And so, Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Draw these people to yourself for salvation and for comfort. And Lord, help all of us who name the name of Christ to humble ourselves and to pray. And to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent. And to get back to you, our first love. Lord, those who have an ear to hear, let them hear. And help them, Lord, to humble themselves and drop their sin and come back to you. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you deliver each and every one of us, Lord, from our tribulations if we come clean before you and confess our sins and repent and get right with you. Help us to get back to you, our first love. And deliver us, Holy Father God, from our tribulations and trials and temptations and tests and temptations and tensions. And Lord, we pray that you would give us sweet victory of overcoming in every area of our lives so that we can be a shining light and witness for you in these dark days. And Lord God in heaven, I do pray, grant me your energy, your strength, your unction, and your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy word and to teach your holy word once again. And Lord God in heaven, I pray for our family and our ministry and our church here. I pray for all other families and ministries and churches that you would protect us, Lord God, from ourselves, our flesh, and the devil. Protect us, Lord, from evil people in the family, evil people in the church, evil people in the world. Place, Lord, upon us the whole armor of God, even tonight. And help us all to be watchful and prayerful and vigilant. Thank you for what you've allowed us to accomplish in this day, even beyond the great devotional memorial service this morning. And Lord, help us to keep on marching forward. Help us to pray hard, think hard, work hard, and do hard. Help us not to be just hearers of your holy word and not doers. We cast all of our cares and burdens upon you, for Lord, we know that you care for us. Fill us with your peace that passeth all understanding, your joy unspeakable, your holy serenity and tranquility of mind and heart tonight. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray. And then even, Lord, after this service is done, help us to pray without ceasing until we go to bed, and to wake up praying without ceasing by your grace. And by the power and the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Harry Ironside, a man that I read quite a bit when I was a young preacher, said, "Pride is a barrier to all spiritual progress." It does not matter to me what you think about the previous president, number 45, whether you supported him or not. The mic was on, but it was not on me. Thank you, Lord, for reminding me. So allow me to repeat that in your hearing. Evidently, you were able to hear me. Okay. Is this clearer? It's clearer now? Was it clear before, though? Okay, good. The Lord, Proverbs 15:25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. And then Dr. Harry Ironside said, "Pride is a barrier to all spiritual progress and success." And as I was saying, no matter where you line up on the previous president, President Trump, he is home tonight, I believe, and not in the White House, for one reason: pride. The man would not listen to anybody. The main reason why he lost this race is not because anybody stole it. He stole it from himself, because of pride, stubbornness, arrogancy. And I did not vote for President Clinton, President Bush, President Obama, President Trump, or President Biden. So I'm not in anybody's camp. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm a child of God. God has called me to call balls and strikes. In the words of Dr. Tony Evans, I am an umpire. I'm a referee. I'm not in anybody's camp. All I want you to do, whoever gets in office, is to do what God has told you to do from his word, so that we all can live a peaceful and quiet life. Because if you don't do what God has commanded, we're all going to be in a mess. And that's why we're in a mess tonight. But my point is, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. God has, if you will, destroyed the White House as it concerns Mr. Trump. He lost the White House because of pride, arrogancy, and foolishness. That's what I truly believe. And I'm just bringing him up as a modern day example. I know some of you may not like that. You might be mad about it because of the evil that President Biden is already doing, signing executive orders, letting men homosexuals, the transvestites, going to little girls' bathrooms, letting big old muscular men run in women's sports, demonic, satanic activity already going on the first day. So in light of that, and since President Trump didn't do much better, but he did better than this, personally, I would rather have him doing this job. However, I'm going to pray for whoever's in office, because I'm not in anybody's camp. And this is what I believe happened. God gave America a chance to turn this around. Trump did not turn the main thing I believe he was put in office to turn around, and that is this slouching towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Headlong and fast. And he did not do what he should have done to stop that. He stopped everything else, but he didn't stop that. And so he's gone. He did not listen. I told him repeatedly, all 4 years, that's the main thing you need to stop, because the government sanctioning homosexuality and homosexual marriage, which never entered into the mind of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, is not good in the sight of God. And God does not like ugly. And that's why we're under the plague we're under right now. And I have news for you. I appreciate the hard work that this president is trying to put in to resolve this issue. But you mark my words. Things are going to get worse because we're wrong-headed and we're wrong about what we're doing. And not only, and he's not the only one to blame. Obama and Trump, they're not the only ones to blame. The church, who did a wink-wink job and allowed them to go on with this foolishness. Bible-believing Christians, so-called evangelicals, could have stopped this. But the ones under Obama did not. And then the ones under Trump did not. And so, well, this is what you want. I believe God is giving this country what it wanted. And God is going to finish judging this country. This country faces the abyss, not just because Biden is in office. This started way back. So it's nothing personal against him. Other than this evil stuff that he's promoting, these abominations in the government, I like his temperament. I like his age. I like his gravitas. You understand what I'm saying? I like his he looks like he's in control. I like that. And his honesty about what he's doing and how he's dealing with the coronavirus situation. But because of the evil that he's doing in this other area, America will be destroyed. This is not going to... all of this is going to get worse. God has so many things he can do to a country to bring her to her knees. He's very long-suffering and very loving. And so it may be a while, but if we don't repent in the church and in the three great institutions of God, the church, the family, and the government, America will continue to self-destruct. Theologian Dr. John Philip Lang said, "The house of the proud is here meant not just the mere dwelling, but also the family of the proud. Just as in Proverbs 14:11, to establish the border of the widow is the innocent widow who is in danger of being wronged by the proud through encroachment upon her borders, stealing from her, robbing her, harming her. That's not a good thing to do in God's sight. That stretches from the Old Testament to the New Testament. God wants you to help the widow, not hurt the widow. So God will root up those who attempt to exalt themselves above God with their pride and arrogancy, and destroy them. Thousands of folks have been destroyed by pride and what I call Pharaohistic style pride. You say, "Well, preacher, what is Pharaohistic style pride?" I know, it's a word that I created. It is the kind of pride, my dear friend, that no matter what God puts down on the person, God can crush them down to the ground and into little pieces of sand. And there'll be two or three pieces of sand jumping up out of the pile, still raising their fists against God. Pride, arrogancy. And these are they that as soon as God lets up on them, they go right back to being proud and arrogant. Nothing keeps them from that station of pride and arrogancy. No matter what kind of pain is brought against them. I hope you don't have that kind of pride, because here's what's going to happen. You will be destroyed. Pride is nothing to play with. See, when you're proud and arrogant, God can't even help you. He wants to help you. He loves you. But your hands are so tight in a fist that he can't even help you. He can't get in there to give you anything. Another thing about prideful people, you can't teach them anything. They think they already know, and they're just as dumb as they can be. I've told you this before, I'm going to say it again. You hear me very well. Some of the dumbest people in the world are proud and arrogant. That's right, I mean that. Some of the dumb, because you can't help them. You can't teach them anything. This is why they don't read books. Before they try to do something, they don't read a book. They won't read an article or two to try to figure it out and learn how to do it. They won't even look at a YouTube video to learn how to do it. They're mad, and if you tell them, just look at a YouTube video and read an article on it, and you'll get it. They won't do it. They'll go and try to fix stuff and do stuff and tear it up worse, where it doesn't even come on at all now before it was coming on. Because they won't listen. They won't learn. And so therefore they don't grow. They're spiritual and intellectual midgets. And they will stay that way until somehow they learn how to humble themselves down. See? And they will eventually be destroyed. They harden their neck, even though they're often reproved. And then they are destroyed, and that without remedy. Yes, that's right. I believe there are some things that cannot be remedied. This thing of everything can be remedied, you can do whatever you want, and everything can be remedied, comes out of the prosperity garbage. That's where it comes from. God is loving and merciful. He can forgive you. But if you cut off your arm in a drunken stupor, and you're supposed to be a child of God, you can be saved, and you can go and let Benny Hinn lay his hand on you and everything, but the arm is not growing back. But I guarantee you there's some prophets out here and some prophetesses, they will declare and they will name it and claim it that your arm gonna grow back no matter what kind of devil you were and what you were doing, and saying that you were a child of God. And they will declare it, and they will predict it, and they will prophesy over you and slap your head with some oil and tell your arm gonna grow back. And that's a lie of hell. It's not going to go back. God does not operate like that. Can God make a man's arm grow back? Yes. Will he? No. Will he do it for one of his children who went out and painted the town red and got drunk and got in a car accident head on and his arm went this way? I don't think so. So, ladies and gentlemen, in contrast, God is the defender of the widow, the humble, the needy, those who are not arrogant. The widow is used throughout the Old Testament and really in the New Testament as well, to represent the most vulnerable, lowly class, the needy, the humble, those who are not arrogant, the meek, the lowly in mind. And during Bible times, there was little protection and little support for an elderly woman whose husband had died. Most fathers did not include their daughters in their inheritance back in those days because their husbands were expected to take care of them. Somebody tried to pull that over in England recently, this past week. Father died and didn't want a daughter to get anything. And he did a little makeshift, little typed up will. He didn't go through a lawyer. And the judge saw that and said, no, we're not going to recognize that. Give her $300,000. Most widows were elderly, so it was very unlikely for them to marry again or to work anywhere. Furthermore, due to their age and gender, it was hard for them to find work. If their brothers, sons, or other male relatives chose not to provide for them, all they had was what their husbands left them, which was often not very much at all because of the male descendant inheritance system. And Dr. Matthew Henry said, those that are elevated, God delights to abase. And God has no problem in doing so. God will raise you up You don't do what he tells you to do. You're proud and arrogant and want to go your way, talking about you trust your gut. You don't take advice from anybody. Not even from God, and God will put you down in a very embarrassing way, humiliating way. God does not have a problem abasing proud, arrogant men and women, and commonly does it in the course of his providence. The proud that magnify themselves bid defiance to the God above them and trample on all about them. Are such as God resists and will destroy. Not them only, but their houses, which they are proud of and are confident of the continuance and perpetuity of. How is it you can become president by a miracle of God, never being in politics all of your life, and here you are the president of the United States, and then lose it all and facing two impeachments, facing all kinds of court cases, facing even jail time, facing losing millions of what you have. You know why? Because of pride. Pride is the ruin of multitudes, red, yellow, black, and white. Those that are dejected, those that are rejected, those who are humble, meek and lowly. I know of a man, he's a meek and lowly brother, and God has blessed him tremendously. God has blessed him so much he helps other people and helps other preachers, and he does not want his hand shown. I only know because how he blessed and how he it was so blessed, he helped me and helped our family. And he didn't want me to know, but I found out by God. God told me. And he doesn't want any credit. He doesn't want anybody to know. Genuinely, he's not trying to be sanctimonious. It's just in him. And God has blessed him tremendously. One of the meekest men I've ever seen. And he has put up with a lot dealing with people. But I don't think he's ever responded in a negative way. And he's been a blessing. And God will bless you if you would humble yourself down and be meek and lowly in mind. I don't care what you have. Who cares? Who gives a flip about what you have? It means nothing, man. Are you humble before God? Or are you arrogant? God delights in supporting those who are humble and meek and lowly in heart, and often does it remarkably. You know how God oftentimes does this for his people? It's through a little word called favor. Favor. The favor of God. All born again Christians that I know who have experienced the favor of God, they know what I'm talking about. It's when you know you're not supposed to get it. You know you don't deserve to get it, but God will give it to you because of his favor and his grace on your life, because he has wired you and helped you to be humble and meek. through oftentimes chastisement, withholding blessings, rebuking you, and helping you to be obedient in the matter of being meek and lowly and humble. That's a beautiful thing. And once you get there, see, one of the marks of being humble and meek, you're going to be quick to obey God, and you're going to be quick to fear God. And that's where God wants you to be, right there. That's where he wants you to be, right there. Right there. Humble and meek. And have the proper respect for him so that he can trust you to do what you are supposed to do so that he can bless you and show you favor and just open up doors for you and do stuff for you that you know ought not to be done for you coming from James City. What? What? You came from down in the cut, and here you are up here with kings and queens and all the... how did you get there? By the favor of God. He will establish the border of the humble, the meek, the poor widow, which proud, injurious men break in upon, and which the poor widow is not herself able to defend and make good. It is the honor of God to protect the weak, the meek and the lowly and the humble, and to do for them what only he can do. If you're not there, I hope that you get there. And he appears for those that are oppressed. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. God will show up if you go down. Yes, you got to go down with your pride and your arrogance. He's not going to help you with that. You want to fail at every front? You're going to bump your head up against the door. Doors will not open for you. Other people who are less disciplined than you, other people who are less educated than you, will get the prize if they're humble and meek and lowly. And they'll pass you right on by until you humble yourself. And it's not only about fearing God and respecting God. But see, when you're humble, you respect and honor the authority over you. It is a beautiful thing when a son humbles himself, even though he's grown, and submits to his father's leadership and takes his father's advice. It is a beautiful thing when a football player who has more talent in his pinky than the coach has in his whole body submits himself and listens to the coach and does what the coach tells him to do. It's a beautiful thing when an older man who is a sergeant has to humble himself and submit to the leadership of a young officer fresh out of college. Yes, it's a beautiful thing. So that doesn't sound right. I know it doesn't sound right, but that's how it is. See, it doesn't matter how it sounds. About the authority thing. It's a beautiful thing when a wife who would like to do something else and would like to even be someplace else, but she humbles herself and she submits to her husband and does what he wants her to do. See, people like that, when they humble themselves down and they do what they're supposed to do under the authority that God has placed over them, that's when God blesses. You see, but proud, pharisaically proud people, they can't even see it. They're so blind to it. But humble people can see it, and God will bless them, and God will show them favor, and God will open up doors for them. See, the proud people right now listening to me, they don't even understand the concept of favor and getting blessings from God by being humble and obedient and submissive. See, for example, even if a husband is wrong about his decision and the wife submits to it, you know what's going to happen? God's going to bless that woman because she's trusting in him. And she's doing what he told her to do. God will bless her tremendously. If you all would just leave stuff alone and just be humble before God, he'll take you places that you have never imagined. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sounding like Joel Osteen. Go, let me quit. Because God will destroy the house of the proud, but defend those who are humble and meek and lowly and quiet and weak and helpless sometimes. The lesson we can learn from this proverb is to hate pride and love humility and humble ourselves before the Lord. In fact, in this day and time, under this plague, what you need to be doing is humble yourself, pray, seek God's face, turn from your wicked ways, repent, and get back to Jesus Christ, your first love. That's what you ought to be doing. I can't make you do it, dear Christian friend, but that's what you should do. If we lift ourselves up, God will bring us down low. But if we humble ourselves and acknowledge that we are nothing without God, we can trust in God, knowing that he will defend us and bless us and be with us all the way. So tonight, dear friend, if you struggle with pride, take this passage to heart. And take heed to it the next time you face that temptation. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, help us to take your holy word seriously. And Lord, help each and every one of us to not forget this message by first thing in the morning, when a demonic spirit of pride and arrogancy will come over people because they claim they got up on the wrong side of the bed and other such foolishness. A child of God ought not to ever be that way. We learn from the other scripture reading tonight that those who do not do righteousness are not of God, and those who do righteousness are of God. It's very clear as day. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll help all of us and grant us all your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and get back to you, our first love. Now, Lord, grant me your energy, your strength, and your grace, your unction and your anointing and the power of your Holy Spirit to share the gospel, to preach the gospel to those who are lost around the world. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and the free pardon of your sins, Jesus Christ said the most loving, most beautiful, most wonderful words ever said in the history of the world to mankind. When he said one night, and we find it in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Dear friend, you can get saved just from my reading that verse. Dr. Curtis Hudson said, this is the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus Christ preached the gospel first and best. This is the best presentation of the gospel in the history of the world, preached by the Master, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, It is so profound and so powerful that when Jesus preached this gospel that night, he not only preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, his gospel, but he gave you the history of the gospel. He showed you where it came from. For God so loved the world, that includes you if you're in this world. The world is referring to humankind, not the moon and the stars and the earth. You. For God so loved the world. Put your name there. Your name Bobby, God so loved Bobby. Your name Susie, God so loved Susie. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. Notice how simple the gospel is. Notice how simple getting saved is and easy getting saved is. Now, there are some theologians and some pastors who don't want me to say the word easy, but it is easy to get saved. It wasn't easy for God. It wasn't easy for Jesus Christ to do this for us, to suffer, to bleed, and to die on the cross for our sins, to pay our sin debt. He was buried and rose on the third day. These people make it hard because they want to add something else to it, like you need to be in a church to get saved. You need to be in this certain church to get saved. You need to get baptized in a church to get saved. You need to be in a certain kind of church to get baptized, and then you'll be saved. And that's not what Jesus Christ said here. You have to speak in tongues to be saved. You have to jump and run around the church and show some evidence of your salvation. You have to give a whole lot of money to the church. You have to be a giver. You have to be a member of the church. You have to get baptized. You have to do this and that. Work in the church for a long period of time to be saved. And all of those are lies. You don't have to do any of those things I mentioned to get saved. Jesus Christ says it here, and he says it best. He said, whosoever, the word whosoever means anybody at any time, red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. Whosoever believeth in him. The word believeth means to trust in, to have faith in, to rely on, to depend on. That's all. You can do that right now in your heart, and you'll be saved. If I were you, I would call on his name and let him know that you have received his free gift of salvation and that you want him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. And call on his name to save you. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That means you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. You will be pardoned. Just like the rappers were pardoned the other day. They were going to jail or they were in jail. By the stroke of a pen, by the President of the United States, they were set free. Almost 200 people. They're walking the streets tonight. If a president can do that, well, you know Jesus can do it. Because your eternal life insurance policy has been signed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All you have to do is believe in him and trust in him. Pray and ask him to save you. Call on his name to save you, for the Bible says also in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and verse 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell? Saved to what? Saved to heaven, to be with God and Jesus and the angels and the beloved family, the people of God. Very simply, you can be pardoned tonight from the hell you deserve, the prison house of hell, and have your destination changed to heaven because of what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. He suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. He paid your sin debt. Believe in him, trust in him, pray and ask him to save you. I'll help you with the prayer as you believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow me in prayer. Mean it from your heart. Be sincere. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I admit that I have sinned against you. I have committed some crimes against you and your Ten Commandments. For Lord, as I look back, I know that I have told some lies. I know that I have stolen some things. I know that I have coveted and lusted in my heart after people and things before. I have also disrespected and dishonored and disobeyed my parents. I have also disrespected you by taking your holy name in vain. And Lord, as you know, that's just five of your Ten Commandments. I've committed many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in you, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe with all of my heart that you suffered, you bled, and you died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of all of my sins. Help me to turn away from my evil life so that I can follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is living today at the right hand of God as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com. and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.